I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm in church today. I can say honestly that as Jesus said when he went to that communion service that he called his disciples to, he said, with desire, with strong feelings, I have desired to be with you. And I can say the same thing today. I have looked forward today. In fact, I called Reverend Ogle and said, would you mind if I went over and spoke at Crosswinds? And he very graciously gave me that privilege. I felt God's presence here today when our brother began to play that piano this morning and just blessed my heart. I love piano, and piano like that was beautiful. Haven't you felt the Spirit of God today? You know, God wants to do some amazing things in this church. I have had a passion for Crosswinds for several years and just have felt like God has a plan for this church that is really a wonderful plan. And I believe that with all of my heart. And so when I had the opportunity, I haven't had an assistant for several years, about 3 years, and during all of that time, Crosswinds has been on my heart and on my mind. And just this last summer, my nephew, Andy Wills, had told me, well, actually, it started probably 2-3 years ago. He began to give hints that he'd like to come and pastor with me. And I didn't know how it would work, bringing family in and all of that. I knew Andy. I baptized him. Dedicated him as a baby, baptized him at our church years ago, even though they were from New England, and then married them at our church, and he came and spent 2 summers with me. And so we finally, he said he was going to be last, I think, Christmas, he was going to be with his folks up in New England. I said, well, you're going back to Kentucky. Why don't you come by and preach for me? He's always looking for an opportunity to preach. That's why he's glad I'm here today. And I told my board, I says, he'll be candidating, but he doesn't know it because I don't want to have to say no to my nephew if it's a no. And he candidated and everybody loved him. And then we had him come back and spend a week on their spring break. And then the church called him to come, and he's going to be a great blessing to us. He's already a blessing, and God is using him and going to use him. But it gave me a little more freedom than I've had for a while. And I just want you to know that I believe in this church. I believe God is going to do some wonderful things here. And here's what the Word of God says. In the book of John, chapter 6, this whole concept that I'm going to be dealing with today is just all through the Word of God. But in John chapter 6, beginning we'll begin with the first verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread for these that they may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that they might have just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here. There's a boy here. And he has 5 barley loaves. Don't think of big pound loaves of bread. Biscuits. He has 5 biscuits. And 2 small fish. But listen to the question. But what are they among so many? Father, I pray that your Spirit will minister to our hearts this morning. Speak to us, Lord. Lord, you've already been ministering. I'm so thankful, Father, that you never threw the clay away. that you have a great plan for each of us. And Lord, we would be filled with your Spirit and walk in the truth that you've given us. But we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. A while ago, I had an experience where I was going through some physical problems. Any of you know what that's like? I never knew what it was like to get old. I was never going to get old. I never understood when somebody said, I got down and I couldn't get up. I thought that's the silliest thing I ever heard. Why can't you get up? Now if I get down, I look to see if there's anything else I can do while I'm down there so I don't have to make two trips down. I used to be able to do all kinds of things, including riding my horse anytime I wanted to. I could run and mount a horse. When my son Ethan, who's 20, was born, I could still run and mount my horse at a run. Now I look for a little horse that's narrow that I can climb onto with the help of a big stool. You see, these bodies of ours don't do what they used to do. But I still believe that God can. So I was at a meeting a while ago, and they were having a healing service. And I thought, well, I'll go up. And I said, when I got there, I said, I've been having trouble with my legs. I said, would you pray for my legs? And so they said, sure, we'll pray for your legs. And this person began to pray, and they said, oh, God, will you give him spiritual mobility? I thought, spiritual mobility? I don't even know what that is. I didn't come for spiritual mobility. I came for leg mobility. Then the prayer went on something like this. Lord, you know, he's getting to the end of it all. And I thought, no, I'm not. And Lord, you know, it's not going to be long, and the devil is really making him feel. And I thought, no, he's not. And I went back to my seat, and I was sort of smiling and thinking about it. And then it dawned on me what had happened. And it was a spiritual revelation that has changed so much of the way I think. She prayed what she saw. And what she saw was an old man. And what she saw was white hair. I quit coloring it a few years ago. And she saw Gimpy walking. And she thought, it's too late to pray for him for anything except God just to bless him as he slides down the road. Now, I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all. God used her to teach me a great lesson. The Lord does not want us to look at the situation when we pray, but to look at the solution when we pray. God wants us to get our eyes up. And this story is so typical of it. Jesus sees this multitude coming to him. And as they come, he turns to Philip and he says, Philip, where are we ever going to get food enough to feed all these people? And Philip thinks of the treasury, and there's not much money there. And he said, 200 pennyworth. I don't know how much that is, but I assume because there were times when you worked for a penny that it's 200 days worth of income. That's a lot of income. And he said, if we would take that much money, we would only be able to give everybody a little bit. And then Andrew, Peter's brother, speaks up and says, well, Lord, we've got this kid here he's got his lunch. He hasn't eaten it yet. Did you ever know a boy that hadn't eaten his lunch yet? I don't know what happened there. He must have been playing or doing something because everybody else's food is gone, but he's still got his lunch. And says there's five biscuits in there and a couple of small fish. And then he asks this question, but what are they among so many? Now, look at what he's seeing. Andrew is trying very hard to meet the need. He really wants to meet the need. And all they have is 5 biscuits and 2 little fish. And it's almost audacious of him to suggest such a thing to the master. And he comes hesitating. Have you ever been in a situation where you had some small thing, but you didn't really think it would meet the need, but you felt like you should offer it at least? And he says, we've got this, but what are they among so many? What's he seeing? He's seeing the crowd. He's seeing the crowd. And he's seeing the biscuits. And he looks out there and he looks here, and it doesn't come anywhere near enough to meet it. But Jesus doesn't look that way. Jesus says, have everybody sit down and put them in groups of 50 and 100. And then he took the basket, the lunch, and he lifted his eyes towards the Father. And he said, Father, bless this. Now, we know that people had eaten their lunches already. Probably they've been with him a while. We know in one case they'd been there for 3 days, and he didn't want to send them away hungry. And he had said to the disciples, he said, Lord, send them away. He said, no, they've been with me for 3 days. If I send them away, they're going to faint on the way. You give them something to eat. Now, at that time, there were 4,000. And the question was, where can we buy enough to feed this crowd in the wilderness? In other words, he's looking at where they are. And where they are, there's no McDonald's, there's no Wendy's, there's no Burger King. There's nothing there. It's wilderness. And he said, what do you have? Well, we've got 7 biscuits and a few little fish. And Jesus does the same thing. He says, have them sit down in groups of 150 and all. Now, I know that there's some of them have had stuff because there's empty baskets. He says, get an empty basket. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he takes the fish and he breaks it. He puts some in each basket. And then he says, now pass it out to the crowd. And they take the baskets and they go from person to person. And everyone is allowed to take as much as they want. There's nobody saying, now remember, there's other people in line. Did you ever tell your children that? The last time I told my second son that was we were going through the church line, and I've never been to a church dinner yet there wasn't more than enough food. At least at Faith Fellowship it's that way. There's always more than enough. But I saw him putting a little more on his plate than I thought he should. And I said, David, remember, there are other. And he looked at me, and I've never done that again, ever. He didn't say anything, but I realized I had embarrassed him. Nobody embarrasses anybody. Just take as much as you want. In fact, the Bible says everybody had as much as they wanted. And then Jesus said, pass the baskets around and take up the leftovers. And with the 5,000 plus women and children, they took up 12 baskets full. For the 4,000, they took up 7 baskets full of leftovers. Now, what's the lesson here? The lesson is you pray what you see. You pray what you see will affect how you pray. If you see Jesus and his miraculous ability, you will pray with faith. If you see the crowd that's so big and the resources are so small, you will pray, well, I don't know if we can get through this, but God, if you've got any way. You remember, Samuel is told by the Lord to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. And so he goes and won't go through the whole story, but he invites Jesse to bring his sons and to come to the feast. And then he says, I want Jesse for you to have your sons pass in front of me. Well, Eliab comes up. Eliab's big, tough guy. He's got the look of a warrior on his face. And he comes up before Samuel, and Samuel says, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. And God said, don't look at the outside of this man. You see the outside, I see the inside. Oh, you mean God may see what I don't see? Well, let me tell you about it. When Goliath is there, do you know where Eliab is? He's running and hiding in his tent like everybody else is. But where's David? David is saying, who is that uncircumcised Philistine? I'll go fight him. And his older brothers say, oh, we know the naughtiness of your heart. Who did you leave those few sheep with out in the wilderness? It's always interesting. Those who won't fight will minimize the job that the fighters are doing. That's just the way they are. But you see, God is saying, I want you to have spiritual eyes. In fact, the Lord says to his disciples, where are your eyes? Don't you have eyes? When you passed out the bread, how many baskets full did you take up? He says, get spiritual eyes. Now, here's what I want to say. If I pray, what I see, and what I see is the mountain, I'm going to pray about the mountain. Lord, it's so big. Lord, you know how impossible this is. God, I don't know how we're ever going to get rid of that mountain. Lord, it's just so big. But if I see the miracle, I will pray the miracle, and God will take care of the mountain. If I see the problem and I focus on the problem, my faith will shrink. You with me? When we look at the problem, we have a tendency to let our faith shrink. If we look at Jesus, when Jesus took the boys' lunch, he didn't look at the lunch. He looked to the Father. He lifted the lunch to the Father. His eyes are on the Father, and he's saying, Father, bless it. And God blesses it. And it feeds everybody. Where Philip and Andrew are looking at the lunch, and they're saying, whoa, that's so little. The crowd's so big. They never get their eyes high enough to see the all-sufficiency of the Father. So what do we need to do? We need to ask God to give us spiritual eyes so that when the need is there, we don't look at the need. Let me give you another illustration. This truth is all through the Word of God. From beginning to end, you'll find this truth everywhere. Man has a tendency to look at the problem and become so focused on the problem that he can't see the solution. Oh, you mean cancer? Oh, cancer. Oh, oh. Somebody said to me the other day, oh, that C word. I said, don't you realize we have a bigger C word than cancer? Our C word is Christ. Look up. Look up. Get our eyes up. A message comes to Jesus one day. The messenger says to Jesus, Jesus, Lazarus, the one you love, he's very sick. His sisters have sent for you. Will you come? And Jesus, for some reason, says, I don't know what he says, but for some reason, he says, not today. The next day goes by, and not today. And then Jesus says to his disciples, we will go to Lazarus. Behold, he sleepeth. One of the disciples speaks up and says, oh, if he's asleep, that means he's getting better. And Jesus said, no, he's died. He's dead. He died. And when they come in, Martha hears that he's coming, and she runs out to meet him. She says, Master, if only you would have been here, my brother would have lived. Mary comes out and says, Master, if you'd have been here, my brother would have lived. And Jesus said, where have you laid him? He's over here in the cave where we bury our dead. And they're all weeping, and Jesus begins to weep with them. How many of you know Jesus knows everything you're feeling? We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what I feel when these hips don't work the way I want them to. He understands it. He took it all on himself. Jesus says, roll the stone away. Oh, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. We sent for you, Jesus. You delayed 2 days longer. Took you a while to get here. For 4 days, Jesus, he's dead. What are they seeing? They're seeing a four-day dead man. He stinks already. No embalming. Jesus doesn't see a four-day dead man. In fact, Jesus doesn't even look at the body. He just calls into the grave, Lazarus, come on out. What is Jesus seeing? Jesus is seeing a walking Lazarus. What does Jesus get? He gets a walking Lazarus. Lazarus comes walking out, sort of bound with all the grave clothes. And Jesus says, let him go. Loose him. Take those grave clothes off from him. Let him go. What do we see when we pray? Now, I want to make this personal. I walked into your church this morning before anyone was in here. There was a Sunday school class going on downstairs, but the church was empty. And I walked in and I looked and I thought, these people care about their church. Everything is well done. I looked at the sign on the wall. Really a powerful sign. I looked at the scriptures up there. I looked at the cleanliness of the building, looked at the cross, those stones made out of paper mache. I like things like that. I looked at the sound room, looked at the nursery. I thought, these people care about their church. I felt good about the church. But I want to tell you something. If this church is going to become what God wants it to be, you got to look above it. You got to look above the empty pews and start seeing what you want God to do. What do you want? What do you see? You know, when a church goes through difficulties, we see difficulties. Right? We see difficulties. We see problems. God says, I don't want you looking there. I want you to look up. Jesus said this, I will build my church. Who will build it? Jesus will. He said, I will build my church. Does that mean we have nothing to do with it? Absolutely not. It does mean this, though. I will get my eyes up. I will raise my expectation. I will begin to believe that God is going to do amazing things. I'm going to ask God to show me, Lord, this is what you should be praying. Lord, What is the ministry of this church? When we went to build Faith Fellowship 30-some years ago, we were the Institute Hill Alliance Church. I was asked by the district superintendent to candidate. In fact, he would call me and say, will you candidate such and such place? I said, no, that's not the place. How do you know you haven't been there? I said, just know it's not. Well, will you candidate there? No, that's not the place. He finally got tired of calling me, asking me, and so he started sending me letters. And he sent me this letter. He said, will you candidate at Institute Hill? Did you ever hear a worse name for a church in your life? Institute Hill? I thought, what kind of a name? And the Lord said, that's where you're going. I would have gone there without ever candidating. I came into town. At the time, I had been very sick. Didn't know what was wrong with me. My weight was down to about 132 pounds. I think maybe at the time I got there, it was about 140 pounds. And in fact, when Dr. Montgomery looked at me, he said, turned to my friend, he said, does he always look this bad? And Sam looked at me, he says, he looks pretty good today. But I believed God had something that he wanted to do. I literally had no life expectancy. I did not expect to be alive a year from then. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew that I was not well. And when I stood up the first time at Institute Hill Church to preach, you know, people thought I was very spiritual because I looked so bad. Shortly afterwards, I got an invitation to hold a revival meeting a year away. And the Lord said, take it. Wow, I'm going to be alive a year from now. That was a surprise to me. But God began to work, and one day he touched me and healed me. But I knew if Faith Fellowship was going to become what it needed to become, that some things had to happen. We had to be able to move. We had to be able to be what God wanted us to be. And I didn't know what that entailed. I didn't know it meant a new building. I didn't know what it meant. I did think it meant a new name. Institute Hill just was not going to fly. But the Spirit of God began to give us vision. How many of you know it takes spiritual vision? You've got to be able to see it. You've got to be able to see it. One day, I was going to be speaking on the fact that we are clay pots, jars, that we hold this treasure of God's presence in. And I said, Lord, I need a clay pot. And I'm a thrift store enthusiast. So I jumped in my car and I took off for St. Vincent de Paul. And I walked in and I was saying, Lord, I need a clay pot. I walked back to the section where they have glassware stuff. And there sat my clay pot. And it was exactly what I had envisioned. It was the exact thing. I took it home and I paid for it. Took it home. And when I got there, I hit it with a hammer to crack it. And put a hole in it here, had to glue it back together here, because the Bible says that we are meant to be broken. Are you with me? It's God's plan for us to be broken, because what's inside has to come out. And if we're not broken, it doesn't come out. And so when we're broken, what's supposed to flow out of us is the Spirit of Christ. We need to start seeing what we want, seeing what God wants to do. Number one, with us. Lord, what do you want to do with me? What do you want to do with me? Lord, what do you want to do with each of you? Ask that question. How do you want to use me? And Lord, am I willing to let you do anything you want to do? When our elders get together to pray, one of the prayers that comes up often is, Lord, you can do anything you want to do. There are no limits. Anything you want to do. And we're yours to use. When our worship team meets to pray before we go onto the platform, That's our prayer. Lord, you can do anything you want to do. You are in charge of this service. Whatever you want to do, you can do. We're open. It's a yieldedness to God that has to come. Lord, I want you. And right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to our church as well as here, that he wants full right of way to do anything he wants to do. And he wants to use you. He wants to use you. You are important to the kingdom of God. That dear lady that prayed for me and told me I was getting to the end of my life. Well, maybe she knew something prophetically that I don't know. And if I drop dead today, you'll know she was a prophet. But my grandfather pastored until he was 86, had an accident, couldn't drive anymore. And he would walk into Binghamton until he was 92 and teach at the city mission. They'd give him a ride home afterwards. They would come and get him to go and minister in different churches where the theology got off. They'd say, Brother Bunce, will you come and preach? And my grandfather preached until he was 92 and he died and went to heaven. And I'm planning to break his record because I've no desire to not be used. If you want to be used of God, you've got to stop looking at the way things are and start looking at what happens when you put what you have in his hands and let him bless it. Let him bless it. And then what will he do? He'll break you and pass you out piece by piece to meet the needs of people. You say, it doesn't sound like much fun. Oh, it is. Once you get over the breaking part, it's fun. I love ministry. I love doing what I do. I wake up every morning loving to be his. And I ask you today, do you love to be his? Do you love to say, Lord, use me? Are you willing to let go of everything? I'll never forget the day I first came to this church. 40 years ago, maybe. I've been in Butler 40 years. And I was going downstairs, and I hope whoever had these is not here today. If you are, you will forgive me. But I saw these plastic roses sitting someplace. And I said, plastic roses? Oh, you don't know how much of a job I had getting those off the communion table. They were given. And I thought, oh, bless me. This church is going to have to go through a breaking time, and you have done that. Where we're willing to let go of things. Are you willing to let go and let God? Are you willing to say, God, not my will, but thine be done? I don't know what's in store, but I do know this. It's a good plan if you take God's plan. Things are going to happen here. Miracles are going to take place. I started to say, and I'll close with this. When we went to build, I said to the board, Freeport Road Church is over there. Community Alliance Church is over there. Katanning Church is there. Shakora Church is there. What's the reason for our church? What's the purpose for it? If we have the same vision, the same thing, then why don't we just go join community or join Freeport Road? Why would we go into all of this work of building a brand new church if we're not going to have something that is different? I said, Lord, what's the purpose for Faith Fellowship Alliance Church? I knew it even as I prayed it. It's to be a church where the message of the Holy Spirit and his power is preeminent. We preach on the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. We believe that it's God's will that every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit. Our message, primary message is, if you're a believer, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you need to begin to walk in the Spirit. And there are people who have said through the years, well, that Jinx, he's a little too charismatic for me. I don't care. Say what you want to. But I believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose for our church. You need to pray and say, God, what's the purpose for Crosswinds? What do you want to do? And how can we best meet that need? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Well, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I do this just that I can talk with you as individuals for a moment. How many of you believe that God has a plan for Crosswinds Church? May I see your hands? Amen. You believe that. How many of you are willing to be used of God to see it happen? Amen. Amen. How many of you hate change so much that you don't want anything to change? Well, good. Nobody raised their hand on that one. How many would like prayer right now for God to take charge of your life? I want to pray for you if you really want to. You want the Spirit of God to work in your life to bring forth the kingdom here. May I see your hands? You really want God to use you. I don't know whether it's as a prayer warrior, they're the first and most important, or what it is. If you want God to use you, would you stand with me, please, and let me pray for you. Our Father, help us to see what you see and not see what we so often see. Lord, we so often see the problem. And when we see the problem, our faith gets overwhelmed. Lord, help us to see what your plan is. I pray for everyone in this room, Father, that the power of the Holy Spirit will anoint them to be a part of the fulfillment of the miracle of Crosswinds Alliance Church. Father, I don't know what your plan is, but I know this, you have a plan. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will anoint everyone here by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work to build this ministry as you want to see it built. May the Spirit of God fill each one. Holy Spirit, take charge of each heart, I pray. And Father, may we be used of God in a powerful way, for we ask it in Christ's name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's believe God for big things. Don't look for little things. Look for big things. Amen? Amen. Big things. God wants to do good things. I asked God one day, I said, God, give me another name for yourself that I haven't been thinking. Just give me. And the Lord said, I'm good. I said, I know that. The Lord said, no, I'm good. And I began to realize I didn't understand what that meant. God is good. He never does anything that is not good. And if God only does good things, then I can expect that no matter what he allows in my life, he's going to make something good come out of it. Amen. God bless you.